Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And I'd love to take a moment to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. If you are visiting in the area or you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come and just be with us in one of our services. And we have Wednesday night at 7 p.m. prayer meeting and Bible study. And then on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. we have Sunday school for all ages. At 11, we have our Sunday morning worship service. Then every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. we have our Sunday night services. And so we'd love for you to come and visit there. And we are going to be looking today in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, specifically at the things going on there. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And this is about 6 weeks now we've been looking at this passage of scripture and verses surround it and circumstances. And so we're going to get right back into that today. And we also want to say that our hearts and prayers are going out to all those that are involved in the funeral services today for Brother William Mast. And we appreciate him and his family. We're praying for them, and like I said, all of the families that are involved in this tragedy that we've had here in the county. And we know a lot of the friends and family there and people involved, and so we're just praying for you and want you to know that today. And God bless you, and we just pray God's grace and peace will be with everybody that's involved. And so we do want you to know that today. There's a lot going on in the county, and we'll be later on today. So our prayers are with you. And I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio today, and he's my son, and I appreciate him as well. And so good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 in Boone, North Carolina, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia. We really appreciate our listeners.
And we're going to get right into the subject matter today, and got a lot that I'd like to cover. We've been, as I said, talking about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. If you are a new listener and maybe you don't know about the Blessings of Liberty, that comes from the preamble to the Constitution, and then the verse of Scripture which we always start out with, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That's from Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, and that is also the passage of Scripture that is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. So you know, you might say, well, what does a church, what does a pastor, you know, I talk a lot about America's history. I talk about current events. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, talking about things that have gone on in and around New York City since 9/11. You know, it is very easy to go to the Bible and preach and teach and talk about our nation, because our nation is unique among all nations. Our nation was founded upon the Word of God by Christian people, and if they weren't Christians, and not all of them were, of course, but they still believed in God. They believed in the God of the Bible, and they believed that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And so it's not a stretch, it's not a strain to incorporate the Word of God and the history of the United States of America and the future of the United States of America. But here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says here about these trees and these hewn stones. And last week we looked at what it says in verse number 10, "The bricks are falling down, but we will build." And it said, "The sycamores are cut down, but we will." change them into cedars. And we see this, we will build, we will do this, we will do that. This mindset that has permeated America since 9/11, 2001. And America has always had a positive attitude towards accomplishments, and that is good. That's part of what makes America great. But the difference in America in the past has recognized the judgments of the Lord and has responded accordingly. I was looking again this morning at the second inaugural address by Abraham Lincoln. He was put in as president for the second time just a few months before the end of the Civil War, and just a little bit, maybe a month before he was assassinated, and March 4th, 1865, but the Civil War was coming to a close. And he said at the end of that, he said, "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." What if the president or a leading congressman or senator was to come out today and say, "You know what? Maybe all these problems, all these tragedies that we've been having in America are the judgments of God." You know, they'd be laughed off the stage. They'd be run out of town. They'd be ridiculed and mocked for saying something like that. But in America in the past, our leaders have recognized the hand of God in our nation, and they've responded to that. There has been many, many calls to prayer and repentance and thanksgiving in our nation in our short history. And so in the past, we've recognized the judgments of the Lord and responded to it. But America in the present seems to have no consideration whatsoever concerning God, concerning the judgment of the Lord, concerning repentance. Our national attitude is bring it on. You know, that's what George W. Bush said before the Iraq War. You know, they were questioning him and say, "Well, what about enemy combatants? What about this and what about that?" He said, "Bring them on, bring it on." And so you have this modern attitude: we will build, we will recover, we will do this, we will do that. Or I seen this morning, I was looking and reading, doing a little bit of research on the internet, and there was a picture of a man in his office as a politician, and he had on the wall a picture of Obama, and underneath Obama, you know, we've all seen this in the past several years, it said, "Yes, we can." You know, that's sort of his campaign motto: "Yes, we can. We will build. We will recover." Just a few weeks ago, the Major League Baseball had their yearly All-Star game. It took place on July the 10th, 2012, so just a couple of few weeks ago. And during the pregame show, there was a tribute paid to the tornado victims from the Midwest and the Gulf Coast from the year 2011, so the year before. And Joe Buck, you know, he's the announcer, and everybody knows him, and you've heard his voice if you've ever listened to Major League Baseball. Anyway, he's talking on there about the victims and rebuilding and courage and determination. And he said this quote, and I went back and I got it. He said, "Tonight we recognize their strength and lend our support as we stand with them. Please join Major League Baseball and Habitat for Humanity in honoring the resilient people of the Midwest and Gulf Coast. Together we rebuild and reaffirm for the world the indomitable spirit that defines the United States of America." And so this has become, since 9/11, and I'm not going to rehash all that I've said before, but this has become our national mindset. No matter what happens, Our response is always recently modern. Now, this has not always been, but here since 9/11, our response, we will rebuild. We will recover. Last week, Friday, July the 20th, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, concerning the tragic shooting in Colorado, you know what he said? We will come back stronger than ever. Obviously, it's going to be a very hard process. Penn State, in light of NCAA punishment concerning their Sandusky trial and scandal and all those things, I found several examples. We will work together to rebuild, to move forward together. Together we will light the way forward. Together we will rebuild. Together we will right the wrongs. We will rebuild trust. That's what the Board of Trustees has said. So this is our, this has become our national response to tragedy, whether it's financial, economic problems, whether it's physical tragedy, whether it's emotionally, whatever the case might be, we will rebuild. It's just like, and I've been studying this now all summer and back into last spring, and some other things has led me into this study. It's like that we are asking for it as a nation, and we're getting it, but we don't recognize it. And that's what really alarms me and makes me think where we're headed as a nation is in a very scary direction. If you look at 9/11 2001, and you go back 10 years before that and the 10 years after that, you can go to the FEMA disaster website, and you, what you're going to see, I mean, they've got it listed out in billions of dollars, you're going to see a huge spike in national disasters and what they cost. This is not something that that, you know, I've just come up with off the top of my head. You can go and see a graph. You can go and see it in billions of dollars. The past 20 years, the huge spike in national disasters in the United States of America, and anybody that cannot recognize that or see that, well, you're just being willfully ignorant concerning the facts. It's interesting that September the 11th, 1991, George Bush, number 41, he made his famous New World Order speech exactly 10 years before September 11, 2001. George Bush, the president, makes a speech concerning the New World Order. And in that speech, he said concerning the New World Order, we will build this. We will be successful. You can go back and see that speech on YouTube, and it's very eerie to me, considering the lack of the events since that time. And ever since that time in America, our nation has gone down morally, spiritually, physically, financially. We are just like the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. Verse number 4, the prophet Isaiah said to his people there, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." He's talking about a backsliding nation provoking the Holy One of Israel. I was reading the newspaper this morning, and on the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal, it had a story about how the Democratic National Platform, one of their planks that they're going to try to put into place, is the official promotion of same-sex union. You talk about a nation that is provoking the Holy One of Israel, and what is going to be the result of this provoking God in these days. Verse 5, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There comes a point in a nation's history when there is a point of no return. God said, why should you be stricken anymore? You're not paying attention. You're not listening. Our national heartbeat is gone towards the warnings that come from the Lord. People mock. If you say, well, such and such, that's the judgment of God. Boy, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that our economic troubles, that our spiritual problems, that our national tragedies that have come one after the other, like one wave after the other. People do not want to hear that that is the judgment of God. And it seems to me, as I study the Bible more and more, and I've been praying and asking that God would give me light and wisdom and judgment concerning this, I do want to know where we're headed as a nation, and I do want to know what the Bible says. And so I've been praying and studying these things, and even just yesterday I was reading, you know, does God want us to know the future? Does God want us to know what's going to happen? Of course he does. I was reading in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. I had some time, and I thought, well, I'll just turn over there and begin reading in the book of Revelation. It says, chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God gave us the book of Revelation to show his servants, the Bible says there, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. God does want us to know. And as I study my Bible, I'm coming to the conclusion more and more that our nation is at a point of no return. And I'll deal with that later. I don't have time to get into all of it today, but it just seems to me, when I look at all the available evidence and I look into the Word of God, that we are a nation that is past the point of no return. The only hope for America is revival. And the only hope for revival that we find is in the Word of God. The hope for America is not in our politicians. It's not in the upcoming election. I read here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10, 11, verse number 12. The Bible said, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all his anger, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. There we have an example of the mercy of God. And it says the same thing in verse number 17. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. That's a merciful God. Says the same thing in verse 21. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, and verse number 2. Now, Habakkuk sees the judgment of God is coming, and it's inevitable. And he says a prayer in chapter 3. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Without a real revival, I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that we as a nation are on our last legs. We're in our last days as a nation. Now, the whole purpose of studying this is to see where we are as a nation and to call attention to exactly where we are and to help warn people and wake us up as a nation. I found this speech by President Ronald Reagan. He made this speech in 1964. Let me say, our nation has been being warned for years and years and years. And the more we are warned, the more we turn a deaf ear and turn away from the principles of the blessings of liberty. But he was warning the nation way back in 1964. What he's talking about, this is a speech. It's entitled A Time for Choosing, and he's talking about the dangers of communism. How long can we afford the luxury of this family fight when we're at war with the most dangerous enemy ever known to man? He's talking about communism. But, you know, in this speech, he doesn't call it communism. He refers to it as socialism. Have you heard that lately in America? The danger of socialism. He said, if we lose that war, and in so doing lose our freedom, it has been said history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Do you know what he warns against in this speech? He talks about government control, talking about our fathers, our nation's founding forefathers. They knew you don't control things. You can't control the economy without controlling people. So we have come to a time for choosing. Either we accept the responsibility for our own destiny, or we abandon the American Revolution and confess that an intellectual belief in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. We're up against the same things even today. He said, already the hour is late. Government has laid its hand on health, housing, farming, industry, commerce, education, and to an ever-increasing degree interferes with the people's right to know. He went on down in that speech. He said, realize that the doctor's fight against socialized medicine is your fight. We can't socialize the doctors without socializing the patients. This is happening. This has happened already in America. The last thing he says in this speech, he says, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We can preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we can sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness. If we fail, at least let our children and our children's children say of us, we justified our brief moment here. We did all that could be done. That ought to be our desire. We did all that could be done. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, the Bible said, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. I want to talk just in the few minutes remaining about the significance of this sycamore and this cedar and these rebuilding with hewn stones. Now, chronologically speaking, the bricks are falling down and the sycamores being cut down would have happened at the same time. When the enemy came, they breached the city. Many times in biblical warfare, an invading army would besiege or lay siege against a city, and they would cut down the surrounding trees, and they would use those trees for firewood. They would use those trees to build a fort, or sometimes, you even read this in the Bible, they would cut down the trees, pile the wood up against a tower or a wall, and set it all on fire. And this is there's several examples of this in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 19, for example. But in the Bible, trees are highly symbolic, and they are even today symbolic as a nation. We have a special day in America called Arbor Day. Plant a tree. Every city, every town in America has an Oak Street, a Maple Street, a Cherry Street, a Sycamore. You know, this is common. Trees are significant to the health of the nation, and to see those trees destroyed is a psychological blow. I went to Oklahoma City this past May, and I preached in a revival meeting out there, and I got to go to the Oklahoma City National Memorial, and it's very interesting. Part of that memorial, part of the museum there, there's this huge tree that survived the blast, the bomb. And that tree is the most cared for tree in the state of Oklahoma. And it's a tree of hope. It's very significant. But the Bible says here in Isaiah 9 and 10, the sycamores are cut down. Do you know? Now, I'm going to talk specifics here for just a few minutes. When I think of the Twin Towers, I think of building streets, cabs, businesses, banks, Wall Street, all of that, you know, concrete and pavement. But lo and behold, there was a sycamore tree at the base of the Twin Towers. It is now famous. You can look this up on your computer. see pictures of it before and after. It's called the sycamore tree at Ground Zero. Since 9/11, the root system was carefully dug up, and an artist took that and made a monument out of it. The stump of that sycamore tree was moved down the street into the courtyard of St. Paul's Cathedral. This sycamore tree at Ground Zero. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 10, the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. I'm going to read to you from November 2003. There was a tree dedicated to put back in the place of that fallen sycamore tree. This is Dr. Daniel Matthews. He's the rector of St. Paul's Cathedral. Here's what he said about that dedication. They call it the Tree of Hope. But anyway, he said, "This Ground Zero Tree of Hope will be a sign of the indomitable nature of human hope. The Tree of Hope is planted in the very spot where a 60-year-old sycamore stood the morning of September 11th, 2001. Guess what kind of tree it was? It was a cedar tree, a conifer tree. This prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 has literally been fulfilled at Ground Zero, as technically as if it had been planned out. But the people that did it had no idea what they were doing. The Bible said the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Now, verse number 10 also says the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. I'm going to read to you what took place on July the 4th, 2004. There was the dedication of the what was called the Freedom Stone. And this was the actual, what they labeled as the beginning of the rebuilding of the Freedom Tower, the Twin Towers being built back. They dedicated, they laid it as a cornerstone, the Freedom Stone. Governor Pataki said, "Today we take 20 tons of Adirondack granite, the bedrock of our state, and place it as the foundation, the bedrock of a new symbol of American strength and confidence." And so we have the exact fulfillment. I mean, you think about that. Exactly what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 has been fulfilled in New York City at Ground Zero. The bricks are falling down. We talked about the Twin Towers falling and how that never has there ever been a high-rise building. There has been high-rise building fires, but never has one just fallen into its own footprint and turned into dust. The bricks are falling down. When you think about Ground Zero, you think about 9/11, you think about that huge tower of rubble. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. They took a dressed stone out of the mountains of New York State and placed it there and had a dedication ceremony. The sycamores are cut down. There was a sycamore tree. It fell over. They turned it into a monument of defiance. They put a cedar tree back in its place. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. That has been the national attitude for many, many years now. We will build. We will build. Well, our time is quickly gone. We're going to have to just stop right there. But I thank you for listening in. Have a great day. Our prayers are with you. Noah's going to give the information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.